Good morning. My therapy session has already started with Courtney Miller from Cornerstone. This is the Mary Griffith Show, brought to you each and every weekday morning by Refreshment Services Pepsi and Harvest Ridge Coffee. Get it at your office like we do here at the Radio Ranch. You can have it delivered. You can buy it at your local grocery store or Harvest Ridge. On brew at many convenience stores throughout the tri-states, and ask for it at your favorite restaurant too. And if they don't have it, say, hey, you really ought to get some Harvest Ridge from Refreshment Services Pepsi. Well, Courtney Miller is here, and we were discussing how easy it would be if we could do everything from home. I think I should build a radio studio right in my bedroom. I don't even have to get out of bed. I could just broadcast from there every day. That sounds like a perfect way to go.
Yeah, it'd be really convenient.
Yeah. You and I could telehealth, you know. It's perfect. Well, Courtney Miller's here today from Cornerstone, and we're going to talk about the importance of play and being childlike as an adult and being childlike with your children and encourage them to play, because play is mental health therapy.
Yes, absolutely.
Tell us all about that, please.
So play is something that's often overlooked and how important it is to all of our development and even into adulthood. It's a kind of overlooked form of healing. A lot of people don't think about it, but it is a stress reducer. It is healing and helps with processing things that have happened. There's a lot of benefits. There's a dopamine release when we're engaging in play and creativity. And that goes for childhood throughout adulthood.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I would agree with you, except when I'm trying to do a Sudoku puzzle like the other day. So I finally couldn't figure it out. And I said, well, obviously there's an answer. So I just guessed. And then I found out that my guess was wrong 20 moves later. So I had to crumple that piece of paper up and throw it in the trash. So that was not very restful or relaxing play for me. But most of the time I do like doing puzzles. So when you talk about play, it's so funny. Amy Peters was just here Wednesday with the Children's Museum.
Oh.
And she's a mother of five. Mm-hmm. And so she gets to play every day as director of the Children's Museum.
Yeah.
She gets to put coins in a vortex and wrestle with dinosaurs and go pretend shopping at the grocery store where there are no calories in any of the food. And how important, you mentioned it as a healing process. When children are depressed or down or they've lost their puppy or maybe grandma or grandpa died, how can we use play for ourselves and our children to promote better mental health? I mean, what kind of play are you talking about?
Play can be a lot of different things. It can be collaborative, where you're sitting side by side and doing something together, and you're trying to accomplish a goal together or work on something with each other. Or it can be competitive. So competitive is more of like what you were talking about with the game. And competitive can be a little more frustrating.
Competitive with myself, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's interesting. I played golf yesterday for the first time in 40 years.
Yeah.
And I was playing with a woman who's won the city championship in Keokuk and Quincy several times. And, of course, there's no way I'm going to be as good as she is. And it was interesting because, of course, I couldn't care less what our score was because it was a best ball tournament and my ball was never the best ball. So who cares? But we three putted on the eighth hole and I could tell she was really irritated. you know, because even though you're not expected to win with this cast of characters that were assigned to you, you know, in a draw, it is frustrating when you're used to winning, not to win. So, but there's something to be said for the learning adventure of losing. You have to learn how to be a gracious loser.
Yes, and I think there's a time and a place too. So when you're talking about a child grieving, probably not the time for competitive play.
Right.
That's more of like, let's do something together. Let's play Barbie dolls or let's work
teddy bear
on,
picnic or whatever.
Something that's together instead of you versus me.
Right.
Because they're not in the mental space for that.
When children need their alone time to use their imagination, I remember a little cousin of mine, one time I said, do you want to play? He said, no, Pinky, this is my alone time where I use my imagination. I thought, wow, you are so smart, you know. And you have to encourage children sometimes to use their imaginations because with that device in their hand at all times where they're trying to, you know, Candy Crush or jump over a ninja or whatever, they don't use their imagination a lot. They just rely on what's happening on the screen, which is all imaginary, but it's not their imagination. It's the computer programmer's imagination.
Yeah, it's okay for them to be bored because then they have to think of something to do and use their imagination and come up with maybe a new game they haven't thought of.
Oh, yeah, we always used to make up great games with all the great rules.
Yeah.
You know, because whenever you play baseball in your neighborhood, you're never going to have a ball diamond.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the teeter-totter second base and, you know, the thorn bush is out of bounds, you know. You have to
work together
and be collaborative to make up the rules and everything.
Mm-hmm.
How can we encourage ourselves to turn off the screen, whether it be television or, you know, a game or something like that? How can we turn off the screen and turn on our imagination? Because it's hard to explain to children what your imagination is.
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain pretend?
Yeah. Well, you have to be more disciplined. I think in this day and age, there's just so much, there's so many electronics. Everything's at our fingertips. It's so easy just to turn on the TV and have them watch TV while you're cooking dinner or something like that. So you have to be more intentional with setting limits to the TV, to the iPad, whatever they tend to use. And that in turn gives them that opportunity. You have to use your imagination for this time. Like, you don't have that resource at your fingertips to just...
Right. Do you have to get them started? Because now everybody knows my favorite show, because I'm so mature, is Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, which is for the 3-year-old crowd. And he goes, "Do you want to pretend with me? Let's use our imagination." Then he wiggles his ears and something in his imagination pops up.
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to be more playful as an adult or as a child, or if you're playing with other adults, or if you're trying to get children to be more playful, when you say, "Let's use our imagination," should you throw out a broad topic to get things started? Should you say, let's say our teddy bears are going somewhere. Let's say pretend we're, you know, traveling on the river in a raft or something. Do you get started that way?
You can always give ideas, and kids learn from observing your behaviors and how you interact and how you play. So the more that you're engaged in their play, the more that they learn how to play.
So you show them what an imagination is by saying, you know, "Mommy is walking through the forest and she sees a squirrel."
Yes.
And then she pretends she's a squirrel.
Yes.
And mommy goes and sees a bear, and then she pretends she's a bear, and mommy runs.
Yes.
So is that something, because I don't know anything, you know, you're the expert. How do we learn how to imagine? I mean, are we born with that ability to imagine things?
Well, I don't know per se that we're born with that intuition to play, but we all learn from our peers. We all learn from adults. So when we see other people engaging in that, it trickles down to the next generation. So kids not only learn from their parents, they learn from watching peers too. So they're at daycare, they're watching other kids play, they're going to engage in that play.
And play is beneficial. You mentioned for general healing from trauma, but it's just generally cleansing to our bodies. It's a basic part of our daily living. I mean, even adults, we probably don't say we're engaging in play, but we're doing things that are lighthearted. And so we need to get more lighthearted moments in our very heavy-hearted world, don't we?
Yeah. And play isn't just like, you know, playing Barbie dolls or playing with our teddy bears, things like that. As adults, play is knitting, crocheting, those creative things, those creative outlooks, were woodworking and all of those things. That's a form of play and creativity.
So give the kids the basics.
Yeah.
Throw some crayons and some paper and maybe some finger paint that's washable.
Yes.
At them, and they'll figure it out, or Play-Doh.
Yes.
You know, they'll figure it out. But again, part of the problem is kids don't get bored today because the algorithm is making them click every 15 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
When they start to get bored with a game because maybe they're not reaching the next level, the game automatically becomes just a little bit easier to help them train them how to make that next ninja jump. And then once they do it, it goes back to being a little bit harder to keep them engaged. And that engagement is the wrong kind of engagement. I look around my neighborhood, even where I live now, and I never see kids out playing ball. Things that we did all summer long. I mean, a day like today, you had breakfast. You went out the front door. And your mom said, be back at X amount of time for lunch. Mm-hmm. And all the moms in the neighborhood pretty much got together and decided the time because you were going to leave at 12 if everybody else was going home at 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to sound like such an old fogey and everything, but we're really missing out a lot on the fact that kids don't play in the neighborhood with their neighborhood friends. They just don't leave their house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a different time. I think there's a lot more fear because of what's at our fingertips. We see all these horrific news stories, and then that impacts if we want our kids to go outside by themselves, if we want them.
Neighbor's the serial clown killer, I really don't want my kids over there using their imagination. The other day, it was so funny. You know, it's, I used to say when I was younger in high school, kids would say things like, I live in Quincy, and they'd be like, oh, I live in Liberty. It must be so cool to live in Quincy. Everything's so boring here. I go, it's so boring in Quincy. And the other day I was driving by the park by my house, Bob Mays Park, and there was a school bus there from out of town, and those kids were playing on that playground like they'd never been on a playground before. They'd never been on that one before.
Yeah.
So part of our responsibility as adults to ourselves and as adults to our children is make sure that we have sometimes a new experience, even if we're sliding down the slide, make sure it's a slide somewhere else, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those new experiences are exciting and they're new. So, yeah, they're more willing to engage in it because it's not their everyday things that they tend to see.
Familiarity breeds contempt, I guess, is a good thing to say. Of course, you got to be careful with that because, too, my mother used to say, now, you can't cross 36th Street. You can't cross 36th Street. I said, okay, Mom, I won't. So I went down in the creek and I walked underneath the, you know, I didn't walk across 36th Street. I walked underneath it in that filthy, dirty Cedar Creek, you know, and went over to the unexplored, what was now Mormon Wavering Park and said, gee, I wonder what's in this big forested prairie woodland.
Yeah.
So you do have to supervise them because their little imaginations will take them a little bit too far sometimes.
Yes.
Is that part of it is making sure that their mind can wander anywhere, but that their body stays within reasonable distance of your eyesight?
Yeah. Your brain's not fully developed till you're 25. So they're, they're impulsive.
Anybody
little...
who knows a man knows that. Yeah. Thank you for Courtney Miller for reiterating that fact. Your brain is not fully developed till it's 25.
Correct.
Yep. Look at all the things we do before
I know.
We're 25.
Yeah.
It's really scary, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. We're talking today about play, which has many different forms and many different names. I don't think your boss would appreciate if you said, I'm going to work today to play.
Mm-hmm.
But just little jokes at the water cooler, just little things like that. That is play, isn't it?
Yes. Another big one is like improv comedy. That's play. That's adult play. But we don't really see it as that and name it as that.
Yeah, you know, bringing it back, today at 11 o'clock, I am part of a performing troupe that's going to be at the Illinois Veterans Home. And Wednesday we were at Bradford Villa, and next Wednesday we'll be at Captown Cafe, and we're doing a play, and we're doing sketches. It's interesting that the word plays, performing a play, how appropriate.
Yeah.
Because what are you doing? Pretending to be somebody else, saying someone else's words, making up your own actions or having a little costume or something. Too many adults just are so uptight and straight-laced.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can't expect somebody to go from being afraid to say hi to somebody and never going to a cocktail party because they wouldn't dare want to meet a stranger to getting up and performing at Quincy Community Theater in Jersey Boys. But how can we? We know, I think it's pretty easy to get kids to start at playing. You know, they're sitting on the park bench and they're dejected. So you go over and you talk to them and then you start to engage them. You start to get them to play. Your kid's down, your kid's depressed at home. You start engaging them. Like you said, maybe not in something competitive, but in something that you do together. Let's paint a picture together. I'll paint a flower, you paint a flower. We'll see what the flowers look like. Not competitive, but just what the differences are, and then pointing those out. How can adults start playing more?
Yeah.
How can I play at the grocery store, for example?
Yeah, well, as adults, we're more socially aware, so with that comes more social anxiety than kids have. So kids will just say what they think and what they mean off the top of our heads.
Yeah, I love children who say things like, you're too old, don't worry. You know, my favorite was, I was playing one time with my little godson, and I said, if you don't come down out of the jungle gym, you know, I'm going to come up and get you. He goes, Pinky, you're too fat to get up this hole. Thank you, thank you, thank you. When you get down from there, we're going to But, you know, you can't be mad at a kid for stating the obvious.
Yeah.
Like, you know, somebody said, what color is your hair? And I said, it's red. They go, not really. I go, okay, you are now correct.
Yeah.
Let's not go further into the fact that gray hair starts to form. You know, you are correct. My hair used to be red. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not lying to you. I'm just saying I'm using my imagination.
Yeah.
So as adults, when we're starting to feel overstressed, overwhelmed, a lot of us revert to the isolationism of our own home, which is the worst thing you can do, right?
Right. The more you isolate, the less connected you feel with other people or less understood that you are by other people, and that can increase mental health symptoms.
Okay.
But sometimes we have to get out of our comfort zone. Anxiety tells us, like, oh, don't try these new things. Don't do this. Don't go out of the box and out of my zone of comfort. But the more that we listen to those things, that just fuels and feeds the anxiety.
That's hard, though, Courtney. You know, you're the professional, so we're naturally wanting to stay in our box and in our comfort zone. I love that word. Whoever thought of comfort zone is a genius, because most of us would spend most of our day in our comfort zone if we could. And it's very difficult for some people to get out of that. So what are maybe three techniques that we could use if we're feeling uncomfortable about something? What are three techniques for our own mental health that we can get out of our comfort zone?
So when we're noticing some sort of dysregulation or discomfort, the biggest thing is finding things that help us feel regulated. So whether that's deep breathing, deep pressure, you can have like a worry stone or a pebble in your pocket that you rub, something that's sensory oriented. But exposure therapy and being able to expose yourself to those new experiences, and it doesn't have to be a big step, it can be a small one, and then you build upon that small one a little by little. You don't have to dive in head first, but being able to take those small steps will help in the long
run. So just challenge yourself. I'm going to go down to the park, I'm going to sit on the bench, and when somebody walks by, I'm just going to say hello.
Yes.
How are you today?
Yeah.
Very. And then, of course, the minute I do that, some creepazoid will sit down and go, I'm fine. How are you? Yeah.
Those are those anxious thoughts.
Yeah. Okay. Now we've reached level two. Okay. But yeah, try to do something just a little bit. You know, try to do something just a little bit. They say the number one fear of people is public speaking. They'd rather die than have to speak in public. So, you know, again, recognizing that this is a fear, try to turn it into play. You know, hey, look it, there's a pelican. You don't even have to engage with them. You just showed them something. Now they may say, oh, thanks, I didn't see it. Or they may re-engage with you. And then you've got a decision to make. How much more do I want to go? Because that's always the hard part. That's why I think the grocery store is so wonderful. I love it when they say, did you find everything you were looking for? I always say, I found things I wasn't even looking for, you know. But in line at the grocery store, that to me is a pretty safe zone. Because you're only going to be with these people for 2 minutes at the most.
Yeah.
The guy behind you, if you make a comment about, oh, is that a good watermelon? I never can figure out how to get a good watermelon. And then he might look at you like, don't talk to me, lady. I'm standing in line. I am in my comfort zone, and your interest in watermelon ripeness has nothing to do with me. People will not always react the way you think it's going to. Play doesn't always go our way, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And from what you're describing, at a grocery store, if you're feeling uncomfortable, the chances are other people are feeling uncomfortable too. They're just not showing or saying it out loud. So you're not alone in that. You're not alone in feeling uncomfortable.
We're never alone. I'm sitting there reading with, you know, trying to get my bifocals to focus in on how much sodium is in a product. And one time this gentleman, he goes, I think these are probably low sodium. So, of course, my, you know, I don't have any barriers. I said, sir, if you're really trying to cut on a low sodium diet, I guarantee you that's not low sodium. He goes, really? How can you tell? I said, look at the back and read it. It had like 50% of the daily requirement.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, thank you. He goes, what is low sodium? I said, nothing that tastes good. So you can get out of the aisle.
Unfortunately.
But, you know, I mean, the other day I was buying something. I had to look at three different, it was fish, but it was three different kinds of fish with mm-hmm. different breading on them. I had to get the one that was the least sodium, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, just stuff like that. And you can make a joke out of almost everything. Mm-hmm. And I think people do appreciate when there's a little bit of humor,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of humor, you know.
Yeah.
In it. So just try to get out of your comfort zone and start with kids.
Yeah.
Start your own journey. Just go to the park and talk to children. No, Mary. The police department will be called immediately.
Well, chances are you have at least some children in your family. Start there, maybe.
Right. Start with children you know, and then bring those children, and then get them, and then lure other children over. No, don't do that either. There's really no way to get this going without it turning into a tragedy.
Yeah.
But we all need play, and that's the most important thing to remember.
Yes.
So, Courtney, thank you for those tips today. Summer is a time for play. It should be a time for play for grown-ups, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, folks, if you're not feeling joyful mm-hmm. and playful and spirited, at least a portion of your day,
mm-hmm.
you've got a problem.
Yeah.
And guess what? That problem will only get worse. So try to find something. I mean, I wouldn't suggest maybe skipping or something.
I don't know. Skipping looks pretty joyful.
It is pretty joyful, but it can also lead to a broken collarbone if you're older. But I mean, try to find something that used to bring you joy and try to do it and then laugh at yourself because you can no longer do that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when you were a kid and you could kick both feet up and kick your heels together?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tried to do that at the Applebee's parking lot one night. I don't know what the hell I thought I could do that, but I thought I could do that again. I can't do that again, Courtney.
That's a learning lesson.
That was a joyful experience for everybody around who saw me. Paul. My butt.
You were engaging in play.
I felt joyful and I wanted to express my joy to the world. So folks, be joyful today and be joyful this weekend. And Courtney, you be joyful and have a great day, okay?
Yes, thank you.
Coming up, we're going to talk about something that might make you joyful, and that is hemp products. SunMed Wellness. We'll come back. First, we head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. Stay tuned. On the nose, and Lisa is standing by at the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. How do the farm markets look today?
Good morning. Corn for July is up at 447. September, it's down one at 425. Soybeans for July is down five at 1046. August is down seven at 1041. Wheat for July is down one at 532. Soybean meal for July is up one at 298. Lean hogs for June is up at 100. Feeder cattle for August is up at 300. Live cattle for June is up at 216. Crude oil is down at 59.66, and the Dow Jones is up 13 to 42,279. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. I didn't even know crude oil was live, but there's Lisa telling us it's live. So look for that in your tank of your car. We are here with Matt Anderson, and gee whiz, as grand openings go for SunMed. You had a pretty darn good grand opening on Thursday, didn't you?
It was absolutely grand, Mary. That's the best way to put it. So, you know, sometimes as you live in communities and, you know, there's always, you know, those certain things that kind of make you question the place you live.
All that
just kind of disappeared yesterday. And it wasn't just because we were busy all day long, but it was the experiences and the conversations I got to have with people, you know, those things that really just truly touch your heart. And I just want to thank the whole community for day one, and we've got three more days left, so.
It is going to be exciting. We're talking about SunMed's new location. They're open Monday from noon to 6. Tuesday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. and Sunday from 12 to 5. And you are in a brand new location at 608 Broadway. Your storefront does not face Broadway. It's in a little cul-de-sac mall thing there, right in the downtown area. Welcome to the district. And let's talk a little bit about SunMed's premium CBD and hemp-derived products, because so many people are having trouble sleeping. They've got, you know, they've got a joint ache, or they've got a back ache, or they've chronic headaches, or they just have no energy and just feel blah. And you've got products that are natural that can help people get better. And I look at you, and you're kind of a picture of health. You keep yourself trim and fit. You've got a glowing skin. I don't know why you take all the hair off your head and grow it on your face, but I'll never understand some boys. But talk a little bit about what SunMed is and what these wellness products with hemp can do for people.
So we think we truly are kind of in our own space here in this area. We started out as Your CBD Store. That was the original name. And over the past 18 months to 2 years, we've been moving into what we call, you know, more of our modern wellness concept. So we've gone outside of just the hemp-derived products slightly, and we're looking at some other directions we can move in there. We'll soon hopefully be entering the service industry, looking at like some red light therapy, something called PEMF, which we're really excited about, some other things like that to truly add to that, you know, overall relaxation you can experience. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of describing what we are, who we are is kind of difficult unless you come and experience us.
Right.
So
that's the thing. The grand opening yesterday continues today, tomorrow, and Sunday. So you've still got plenty of time to get to 608 Broadway. They've got all kinds of swag for you, but people can come in and ask a question, because until you ask a question from somebody who's knowledgeable, like you, Matt Anderson, you don't have an answer.
Most definitely, and a lot of people haven't experienced products like these before or in this category, whether you're looking at hemp or shilajit or kava or any of these different things that we're kind of into now. But yeah, I for example, I had someone that sent me a message this morning and said, hey, you know, how much does this product cost that was in the gift bag I got? And, you know, I gave her the price, and she explained that she accidentally, quote unquote, accidentally forgot to take her Tylenol 3 last night. So it's those type of things that just, you know, that's the sort of instant gratification for me that I've been appreciating the last 24 hours or so. Is just, you know, I was on Facebook this morning and someone else had posted pictures from the event, and someone said, hey, you know, I had a great time. The customer service was great. I'm sending a friend in today because one of the products that was in the bag, and now I'm not having any pain this morning. So it's just, it's those type of things that are just kind of coming back to me, just kind of, you know, letting me know that we're in the right place and we're doing the right thing and we're truly helping people throughout the community.
Well, that's just it. Try it. You know, I don't think people understand. There's nothing you take or do that doesn't have some kind of side effect, good or bad. But if you really are taking, you know, a lot of anti-inflammatories, aspirins, Tylenols, ibuprofen, any of that, Advil, all of those things, they have a detrimental effect on your liver and kidneys without a doubt. So, you know, if you can find something that you can replace that with, or you can lessen the use of that over-the-counter medication, why not try it? I think one of the things, and I was shocked, I really was. I was so surprised. I hang around a lot of senior citizens now, and sometimes when you're with them and you talk about aches and pains, I am really shocked how many people use hemp and CBD products, because growing up, you know, marijuana, the evil, illegal drug, and it gets you high and you'll be a stoner and have no motivation. And this is not that at all.
Not whatsoever. You know, we truly embrace a wellness principle with any product we sell and any interaction that we have with our customers. So, you know, it's not about the product. It's about your quality of life, how we may be able to help you impact that positively, and, you know, the overall experience that you can have when you come and you work with us. So
okay.
That's really what it is working with us.
Well, I'm going to be a pretend customer, and you give me some advice here and offer up some products for
me. Let's go for it.
Well, like, I don't know if you noticed, Matt, nobody in Radioland can, but I'm 66 years old and I got a zit on my nose. Now, what the heck? My skin is still very oily in some places and drier than dust in others. Do you have any kind of product at SunMed that can help me with that?
We do. We actually, one of the products that several people are getting to experience this week is our collagen cream. So a lot of benefits to collagen. So we have a marine collagen cream. Comes in a 2 or 3 ounce little bottle, and you only need a little tiny pea-sized amount, a little bit less, and it's great for blemishes. It's great for any sort of like dry skin, whether that's on your face, your arms, and it's in our beauty line. So one of the main benefits with our product that I like to impress upon individuals looking to use something like this is, although I'm not in the beauty industry, I know several people that are, whether that's products, whether that's you know, the different treatment options that are available.
Sure.
The one thing that always comes up is the lack of regulation within the and standard within the beauty industry, whether that's different impurities that might be in the products or what the products are made of to work well for you. All of our products go through third-party lab testing, so that's not just for any sort of CBD content in them or THC content in them, but we also test for residual pesticides, fertilizers, those agricultural agents, bacterias, mycotoxins, solvents, heavy metals. We test for all that stuff, so you're sure you're putting on your skin, since it's the largest organ in the body, I guess would be the proper term there.
On it, or in it, or around it, or whatever. It is the largest
skin's
organ.
The largest organ, so we need to treat it as such. So having a clean and pure product, whether it's a beauty product or an ingestible product or an inhalable product, and those are all important. So we test all those products very thoroughly. So with our beauty line, you're sure you're getting a beauty product that's actually been lab tested by a certified laboratory, third party, not from our company. So I think that's a big benefit in and of itself, without the fact that you're getting a high-quality collagen product.
Okay. Let's make up another thing. Not that I would have any of these problems. What if your ankles are always swollen in the morning? What if you retain fluid?
Well, Mary, I don't have anything.
No, not me.
No,
a friend.
I don't have.
I don't have
any personal experience with serious fluid retention, but I have had two Achilles surgeries in the past 18 uh-huh. months. So I do. You can tell, I don't know if you can see over the table, but one ankle is about twice the size of the other one, and that's just natural inflammation that's built up in my tissue right now. So I use our topical cream. It's not in our beauty line. That's actually in our topical line.
Well, I want your ankles to be beautiful.
I'll get the swelling out and then put some collagen cream
okay,
on it.
Okay,
so
that sounds good. First,
we'll
get them thin, then
two,
get them beautiful. So that cream that you can put on there will actually, again, some inflammation is good. Your body's saying something's wrong. I've had this mm-hmm. surgery. Life's not good. I need to send all that blood down there and send all this repair. But you want to reduce that inflammation if you can and make it less stressful for you, because when one part of your body is under stress and inflammation, other parts of your body are.
Most
you can
definitely
see when your ankles get swollen, but you can't see when your heart or your lungs or your liver gets swollen. So,
and that's why these products, what they do is they cause the body to work better in equilibrium or homeostasis. So, getting those different systems, that when one's out of whack, it's going, like you said, it's going to throw another one off. Mm-hmm. So being able to use a product that can help maintain all these different systems together, so your body works in more of a balanced state.
Matt Anderson, my guest today, he owns SunMed at 608 Broadway. They're having their grand opening all this week, and they'll be open today, of course, and they're open Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. on Saturday?
Saturday, and plan it. We'll run as long on Sunday until people stop showing up. So.
Okay, noon to 5 or whenever. So stop by and ask him some of these questions. So many people are primarily concerned, though, about sleep or pain. I'm very fortunate. I very rarely have a lot of pain. I hardly ever take an aspirin or anything like that. I'm kind of blessed that way. But boy, when I do have to take one, I do. But sleep. Oh my gosh. It is so hard sometimes to fall to sleep at night. Now, tell me how a product at SunMed could help me with that.
So we actually have a full sleep line that we conducted. The FDA gave us what's called a full institutional review board, which means that they've had their doctors that have gone through and looked at the testing methods and who's conducting the study and made sure that they're in line with the normal processes within that industry. And we conducted a human clinical study. It was 660 participants over 6 weeks. It did have a placebo group as well, so that's a very important part of studies, because
you can't have research,
without a placebo group. So the results that we saw was 86% saw improved sleep onset and improved sleep quality, 78% reported reduced fatigue, and 76% reported reduced anxiety. So very, very strong study results there. And one thing that we want to pay attention to is the fact that we did have some of that mental health reporting as well, because mental health and sleep go hand in hand, as several of us know, myself included. Mm-hmm. There were some times when I was going through some pretty significant mental health challenges that it, luckily through my products and through my therapist and everybody else that's on my team, I've been able to kind of work through a little bit. I won't say get over, because we know that's not a thing either.
You and I both share that. I'm glad you're being very honest about your, because this is what we have to do to get the stigma out of mental health.
Most definitely.
Let people know that people
it
have
exists.
It exists. So the bottom line is, let me just ask you a ballpark question, though, because I get real worried about taking any kind of sleep aid because I don't want to become addicted to it. I don't want to be, you know, dependent on it. So can I get dependent on your sleep aids, and how much is it going to cost? Because you can't really put a cost on a good night's sleep, but if you just give me an idea of how much a dose per day is, that'd be great.
Sure. So we do have it in, you know, different allowances if you want to. So we have like a 7-day supply, and then we have a 30-day supply. Their 7-day supply starts off at $10. So you can try it for a full week. Several times throughout the year, like during sleep month, we're usually given 7-day supplies for free. There's a lot of different ways to really, you know, kind of try it out. And a lot of people have seen the good results in the first 7 days and come in then and bought, the 30-day supply. So we've got it in different ways you can take it as well, because depending on how you take these products into your body affects how they process and the sort of type of results that you'll see. So like we've got our tincture. It's a little bit more expensive because it has some different essential oils, like some lavender.
And that'd be something you would like put under your tongue.
You put it underneath your tongue. The recommended time is is at least 90 seconds. I usually recommend 3 minutes. Longer is always better with any sort of sublingual, is what those are called. You just hold it there in that little kind of pocket, that little pool there underneath your tongue. And then by the time you're done, you're ready to swallow, it's usually just like a kind of gross, but like a saliva slurry. So,
sure, yeah.
All that product gets absorbed then there into that vascular tissue. And so that product is around $90. And then we have cheaper options.
For like a month?
That's a month supply. It's 30 serving supply. I won't say month because some people do use a little bit more. Very, very rarely.
You have to experiment on your own.
Yeah. So all of our droppers are metered out in 0.25 milliliter increments. So we work with each individual person to make sure you're taking them out of the supplement that your body needs.
Maybe it would be true of a gummy or anything else for sleep.
Yeah.
Well, folks, we're out of time. Dang it.
The gummy is $60, so it's much cheaper. I did want to throw that in there real quick. So.
And you could what I do when I take a melatonin gummy, I just let it dissolve in my mouth. I chew it a little bit and let it keep, because you're going to absorb more in your mouth.
You get some of that sublingual effect as well. Yeah.
That sublingual effect. And on the radio. Thank you, Matt Anderson. Good luck. The grand opening is today, tomorrow, and Sunday at 608 Broadway. You got lots of gifts to give away, so get out and get your free swag and have a great weekend.